As we are reminded of the Lord's mercies today with that song, sign-ups for life groups are not at all so merciful. Today is the last day for you to sign up for life groups. If you have not done so at this point, it's back in the Welcome Center in the lobby back there. As you leave today, go and sign up. We have scheduled them to fit your schedule with childcare and days of the week and times during the week. This will be a great study as we get into the foundation of scriptures and also getting to know different people. As we've been in life groups a few times now, the groups have been different each time, and you get to know more and more people. Oh, I didn't know you came here, even though we're all in one place at one time on Sunday morning. There's still people you may not recognize or get to know, and so this is a prime opportunity for that. So sign up if you haven't done so online or in the Welcome Center as you leave. Let's have our ushers come forward as we prepare to receive our tithes and our offerings. They'll be handing out pew pads down the middle aisle here. We ask that you would fill that out, sign your name, and pass it down the row to the end. It's a great way when we read those during the week to be praying for you by name and whatever God has in store for you during the week. It's a great way to connect with you. Would you also lay your hands upon your kids? They'll be dismissed to go to Little Gilead, and we will pray that they would just be so excited about the Word of God as they learn this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to read Scripture, to read the story of how you conduct your rescue of humanity, for your abundant love for each one of us, for our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren. We pray that you would reveal to them the beauty of your word, and that they would hunger for it, that they would be excited about it and want to grow and learn and allow it to just saturate who they are in you. Heavenly Father, we pray for people who live in fear today. We pray for people in areas of leadership. Father, we pray that your lordship overall would be evident to them and to us. Father, for people in the government of the United States, we pray for wisdom, we pray for humility, and we pray that their hearts would be wide open to your salvation. May you change them to reflect your glory. For the people that we interact with on a day-to-day basis, on a week-to-week basis, Father, we pray for their homes and their families and their interactions. For the joys that will be coming, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, you may be dismissed. You can go now to Little Gilead at this time. Continuing our series of the spiritual habits, learning four things that help us in our response to who God is. Last week was reading your Bible, and today we're going to talk about prayer. And last week I opened up the invitation that you can email me as you read your Bible, questions and things that are confusing. And I'm going to assume on the positive side that everyone who's read their Bible this past week, you know everything, and there's nothing confusing because no one emailed me anything. And then I thought, maybe it's because you don't have my email. And there's a reason for that. So what I can encourage you to do is email the church, GileadFriendsChurch@gmail.com, and just put on the subject matter Bible questions for pastor, and we could turn it into a TV show, like a call-in thing. You just read the emails, and I'll answer your questions, and I'll say, for a number of them, we might be surprised. I'm like, you know what, that's a good question. I have no idea what you just read. What version of the Bible are you reading? But today we want to look at prayer as a habit. It's one of these things that you hear about a lot, and it happens a lot, and sometimes you wonder, really? That's how you pray? You can be very judgmental about how you pray. Often prayer happens around mealtime. We're thankful for food. especially if you get it from Taco Bell and you're like, thank you for this food. Can you actually call it food at that point if it comes from Taco Bell? Sometimes I think about prayer like using walkie-talkies. How many of you have ever played with walkie-talkies before? Or maybe you have to use walkie-talkies for your work. Walkie-talkies are great. They're fantastic. But it's kind of confusing when you are playing with walkie-talkies with someone who has never used a walkie-talkie before in their life. Or maybe they just don't know how to use one. Have you ever played with a walkie-talkie with someone and they didn't push the button in order to talk? And so you're talking, hello, do you read me over? And the person's talking, but they're not pushing the button so that you can receive what they're saying. Or maybe you've played walkie-talkies with the person who doesn't let go of the button. You know, they think they just have to keep it depressed. I remember one time when we were driving on our way to Pennsylvania to Alita's place, getting ready to get married, and there was a big convoy of cars, and so we had these walkie-talkies in place. And somebody had one, and I think they must have put it down in the little place where your French fries get lost in between the seats, you know. And I think it got caught because the button, and you could hear everything, every conversation. That can be dangerous when you're aware of someone who doesn't let go of the button. Or maybe you've played walkie-talkies with that person who thinks they have to physically touch the walkie-talkie with their lips in order to talk. Have you ever played that? And you're like, what are you saying? Just take it. Our boys got walkie-talkies a few years ago, and so, you know, playing with Garrett and Brayden, they think they have to put it right up to their lips. And I'm like, just hold it out. It's better that way. Is that like what prayer is for some people? Does it seem, when you pray, does it seem like God doesn't push the button to respond? You know, maybe you've heard stories of people hearing from God, and you think, that's fantastic. What's that like? Because God doesn't respond to me. I don't hear anything. Or when you pray, is it like you don't let go of your button, where you're just talking and you're talking and you think, God, it's been a while, so I need to catch you up on everything, and so just let me spout and vent. You just sit there on your throne and listen. I asked a few people at the Christian school this past week what they thought about prayer, and I said, hey, I'm going to make a video, so don't be embarrassed. Can we run that clip of them, just from students at Gilead Christian, about prayer and what they think?
I think prayer is a way to communicate to God. And I do it every night before I go to bed and before I eat. And just thank Him for everything that goes on in my life. And I also request stuff that is not going well so that He can fix it. And I also think prayer is a good way to talk to God.
I think prayer is getting you closer to God every time you do pray.
Now, do you pray?
Yes.
Okay.
Every meal time.
I think prayer is when you just talk to God. You don't have to do it in big voices. Just talk to Him.
And you do that?
Yeah, sometimes. Not really often, because like I have so much to do. But I think I should be really doing it more often.
I think prayer is a way to ask God what you want in a way that is more, not just what you want, but it's what you need. And I pray in the morning, at night, and some other times.
Prayer to me is simply your communication with God. It helps, to me, it's a primary way to help you grow individually. I think it also helps bind us together as believers when we pray for a common cause. For me personally, I pray, obviously, in the morning, at nighttime, with our students, so multiple times throughout the day.
I liked how he said he prays, obviously, in the morning before he has to encounter students. We edited that part out of the video. Jesus teaches on prayer, and I want to look at that this morning. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, if you want to turn there with me. Or maybe you found that Bible app that we talked about last week, and it's on your phone or your tablet. Tap on the passage there. What's the terminology with your apps? Tap it? Flip it? I don't know. I was a kid in the 90s. I have no idea what apps are. Stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. This is in the midst of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where he is, it's basically, as I call it, his inaugural address. He's revealing, this is what it looks like when God is in control. This is what it looks like when God rules in your heart and in your mind and just the plan, the hope for the future in Jesus' mind. So he speaks on prayer. Verse 5, Jesus says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Heavenly Father, as we explore this text and this passage, these words of Jesus on prayer, Father, I pray that you would challenge us, you would encourage us, you would reveal to us and help us apply this practice, this habit of prayer. May we respond to Jesus' words. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Luckily, I'm not taking a microphone and asking you about your prayer habits. But I want you to think about what is prayer for you? When do you pray? And what do your prayers consist of? What do they sound like? Do you pray with others? Do you pray by yourself? Are you afraid of prayer? Is it confusing? Have you given up on it? Prayer can be a challenge for people. It can also be refreshing. Some questions that we may have is, how does a person maintain a habit of prayer outside of the typical prayer before meals? How do you maintain a habit of that? Is there a right way to pray? Is God listening? Or do we have to use some kind of magical words or certain phrases in order to get God to listen? For the Jewish people in the time of Jesus and his teaching on prayer, prayer was a part of the regular rhythm of their life. They were in the habit of doing it. It was part of their culture, their society. There were prayers that were said in the morning. There were prayers that were said in their temple, in their synagogues, with their families. There were prayers that were said during special holidays. And there were prayers that were said in the evening. Jesus gives us some pointers about prayer and his thoughts before he unpacks his how-to when it comes to praying. First of all, Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. Verse 5, he says this. He says, and when you pray, and I love that he says when you pray because he assumes his audience is praying. He's not saying if you pray. He's just saying prayer is a part of life, so when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you read hypocrites, that word, or when you hear that term in the Bible, think about actors. Actors and actresses are people who pretend to be something else, and they win awards, and everybody thinks those awards are amazing for some reason in today's world. That's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something else. And so Jesus is saying, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like people who pretend to be something else. In this case, there were people who would want as many people to think that they were so religious, that they were so important in the eyes of God. And they would do that by attempting to show everyone how they pray. They stand on the street corners. They go into the synagogues. Oh, is it my turn? Is it my turn? The more grand your prayers sounded, the more God must be honored by your prayers. There were certain times in the village that people would go to pray, and apparently there were some who would, okay, it's almost time, I'm going to get on the street corner as people are going to temple, as they're going to synagogue, and I'm going to say my prayers with one eye open. Is that who's listening? Are people walking by going, oh, how righteous is that person? Listen to the words that they're saying. Oh, God must be on his side. He must be so close with God. Listen to those words. I don't even know what half of those words mean, but God surely does. Maybe it's his prayer language. Oh, it's so amazing. How righteous in the sight of God. Jesus is teaching when he says, do not be like these people who pretend to be something else. Prayer is not about puffing up your own ego in the sight of others. Prayer is not about acting. Prayer is not about saying certain words that you think may satisfy other people. Prayer isn't about saying certain words because you're worried that other people may be listening and you want to be right in their minds. Does anybody worry about what they say when they pray and that prevents you from praying? Oh, you know what? I just don't know what to say, or I don't know what to, I can't pray like so-and-so, and so I just, yeah, I don't think I can. And that mentality of puffing ourselves up or looking good in the sight of others, that prevents us from actually doing it. Maybe we're afraid that we're going to sound or look ridiculous to God because we just don't know what to say. We don't sound like these other people. So Jesus continues. He says, first, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't pretend to be all righteous and sounding, because that's not what it's about. Not only is it not about what other people can hear, he says, when you pray, you're praying to God. Verse 6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So the point for Jesus when it comes to prayer is you're talking to your Father, your Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the Creator. In verse 6, Jesus is not speaking against public praying. When he talks about going into your room, close the door, many people didn't have doors on their rooms in that period of time, but it's this imagery, it's this idea that you are praying to God. You are not praying for these people over here or these people you're over here. You are praying to God. The words that you're saying are aimed at God. He's not speaking against public prayer because in Jesus' day, public prayer was a very real reality. It was part of the bedrock. Prayers were said in the synagogue, they were said in temple, and they were a normal part of life. Priests would lead people in public prayer, and even Jesus said in one time or another that the temple was to be called the house of prayer. In fact, the very words that we use at the end when someone prays, amen, it means, let it be, or I agree. So be it. May it happen. It means that one word, amen, it means that others are participating with the words. So you're not praying for these people or those other people, but other people are participating when you're praying in public. It's like when we sing in church. Corporate prayer, corporate worship, singing. There's an individual aspect when you sing. You are singing the words. You are hearing the music and the rhythm, and that is your response to who God is. The singing, the music, it is all a tool to help facilitate and move us into a response to who God is. But at the same time that it's an individual act, you are participating with other people around you. You hear them singing as well. You're simply, maybe if they're not singing, you're simply aware of their presence near you. And you're aware of this is a collective experience happening at the same time that it's an individual thing happening. When Christians gather, prayer is like that. The one praying is speaking to God. And the others hear the words and they're interacting with them. They're responding to them. Maybe they're even grasping onto them in a sense of, yes, I agree with these words. May it be so. Amen. So for those who have given up praying or you've never tried praying at an introductory level, for someone who is just thinking about dipping their toes into this practice of prayer, the encouragement I would give to you is it's simply talking to God. Don't try to impress others. Don't be worried about how you sound. You're just talking to God. You're pushing the button on your walkie-talkie saying, here's what's going on. Here's what I love. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what I'm hopeful for. Here's what I'm confused about. As far as who you are, here's what I believe and proclaim to you. At a further level, for those of you who have been praying for a long time, my question would be, who are you praying to? Are you trying to impress other people? Are you trying to make a point with your prayers? Sometimes I've heard prayers used to make political points or to make some kind of an agenda move forward by praying. And I think, really? Is there a fear of using wrong words and that prevents you from praying? With this in mind, I think of prayer groups of people who come together and pray, which are fantastic. And they are vitally important. Every church should have prayer groups. Every pray the groups. But my challenge would be, when you gather as a prayer group, pray. Right? I have been part of prayer groups in the past where you get together and you say, so how was your day? Can you believe what's happening over in Rwanda? Can you believe what the president just said? What time is it? Oh, okay, we have to go. Thank you, Jesus. And you go on your way. Prayer groups are fantastic, but pray. Use that time to speak to God. And not be afraid of what those who are gathering with you, what they think of your prayers. Just pray to God. And when you hear them pray to God, say, I agree with these words. We have no agenda. We have no points to score. We just want to pray together to our God. Jesus then touches on a habit that may seem goofy in our generation, in this day and age. In verse 7, he says this. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And in this generation, it's like, really? Who prays endlessly anymore? in a group setting? You know, do we know people who just babble on? Maybe you do. I don't, because many of the people that I know, they're afraid to pray so long, and so they're very short and sweet. Thank you for this food. Amen. May I not get in a car accident. Amen. So be it. And when they're really angry, I've heard prayers, may that person go off the road. They're a danger to everybody. A point to make for this seemingly goofy passage of pagans who just babble. You could say it this way. You don't need to use magic words to get God's attention. What Jesus is talking about here in verse 7, this babbling like the pagans, people would try to name as many deities as they could think of in their prayers. Because if this deity is busy and may not be listening to prayers, maybe I could name a few other deities, other gods, and they'll be listening. And so I'm just going to name as many gods as possible, just for the chance of maybe one of them, maybe one would be listening and they would respond. And so I'm just going to go on and on and on and on and on and name, you know, the god of fertility, the god of grain, the god of the sky, the god of death. One of them, please, one of them, hear my prayers. And Jesus is saying, don't babble on. Because God knows what you need before you say it. So there's something deeper about prayer than simply what you say. There's another thing with babbling and naming deities, saying the names of gods. It was believed in the ancient world that if you named the gods, if you used the god's name, you somehow exercised authority over that god. And it kind of works in today's world when you interact with people, right? If you meet someone and they know your name, right? I'll use Todd because he's looking so enthusiastic at me. If someone walks up and they say, "Hey, Todd, it's great to see you," and Todd doesn't know my name, Todd's at a disadvantage, right? Have you ever experienced that where someone knows your name and you have no idea what their name is? And like, hey, oh man, you're at a loss. And so that mentality was the same with the gods. If these people could name the gods, man, I exercise authority over you because I know your name. And so because I know your name, now you have to do what I say or what I ask. Pagans believed that their gods would be at their mercy if they could use certain phrases or magical words or even their names or simply saying the term God over and over and over again. The idea that maybe he's deaf and I have to say God over and over and over and over again to get it to stick. Jesus teaches that prayer is not about gaining power over God. As if, because I've said this and used these words, God has to respond to my request. Jesus teaches that prayer is not about that at all. Prayer is not about gaining authority over or power over. He sets all of that up before he jumps into his how-to. This is how you should pray. The words that Jesus uses in his teaching reveals that prayer, there's a bigger picture revolving prayer. There's a grander point to prayer than all of these things that he has stated up to this point. And he begins, this is how you should pray. He doesn't say, these are the words you are to use. He simply says, this is how you should pray. And he begins with, Our Father. Our Father in heaven. By using this term, our Father, Jesus is using a familiar term. And by that I mean it's based on family. As a follower of Jesus, we are taught and we have come to believe that we are part of the family of God. And we view God as our Father. Some in the ancient world treated it as an intimate, more of a father to son kind of a term for your dad. But in the phrase here, when Jesus is teaching on prayer, it is more of, we are family. You are my father. And then he uses the phrase, hallowed be your name. This is a word I don't think anyone ever uses, right? Have you ever used the word hallowed? At first I was thinking of the legend of Sleepy Hollow, and then I was reminded it's not hallowed, it's hollow. So that kind of, my illustration went out the window there. What does hallowed mean? It's one of those words where you're like, do I say it? Will I sound impressive if I use it? First, a name was not merely a label. So when Jesus says, hallowed be your name, it's not necessarily a label, but it represented, your name in the ancient world represented the reality and the presence of a person. And so what hallow means is to honor as holy. And so what this phrase means, hallowed be your name, is we hold in the highest honor the holiness of God, his presence, and his reality. And the beauty of this prayer that Jesus teaches his followers is it's a twofer. On the one end, this is what we hope to eventually become the fullness of reality when God's kingdom is reigning over the entire earth. But it's also a here right now. So it's a here right now, but it's a not yet as well. A here right now, but a not yet ultimately fulfilled. And so we pray that God would have the highest honor and it would be known throughout the entire world. Hallowed be your name, your presence, the reality we hold in the highest honor, your holiness. And then he says the phrase, your kingdom come and your will be done. In other words, as God reigns in the heavenly realms, we seek that here now. Again, both right now and yet to be fully realized. And the beauty of this part of the prayer is that followers of Jesus get to be the answer to that prayer. As you respond to God and his kingdom, you are bringing his kingdom here now. And how you treat one another and how you respond. Jesus then says, give us our daily bread. And this is a plea for God's daily provision, both physically. May I just rest in today. Jesus later says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries. Right now, today, let's focus on today. And so we pray your daily bread. God would be the provider for both physical needs and also for the deeper realities. As God's mercies are new every morning, we rely on his provision to the very core of our being today. And when tomorrow gets here, his mercies are new that day as well. Those are all aspects that I think, I'm assuming, can be easy in our understanding of prayer. That God would be acknowledged as the ultimate in holiness, that his kingdom would come, because clearly his kingdom is the best kingdom compared to the worldly kingdom. I mean, I think we can all confess the worldly kingdom stinks. His will to be done, that we pray that God would provide on a daily basis, that we would rely on him day by day, that we wouldn't have to think so far in advance and worry. But then comes the tricky part. That's easy to say, but very difficult for many of us to actually execute, when he talks about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is the challenge, at least half of it. Would we all be in agreement that asking forgiveness from God is great? That's a beautiful thing of our relationship with God. God extends forgiveness to us, and we rejoice in that. And we're like, this is great. We have a God who forgives. But then the second part, as we forgive our debtors, we kind of say, seriously, I think I forgot that part of the prayer. Would you confess with me that forgiving others can be hard. That in our humanness, and in all honesty, sometimes, often, we don't want to forgive others. Because they hurt us. They continue to hurt us. The ugliness of it. And yet we read this prayer from Jesus, forgive us as we forgive others. Heavenly Father, may you reveal to us the courage and the strength to forgive as you forgive us. Father, I'll be the first one to admit here in a room full of people who would be willing to admit that it is not easy sometimes to forgive others. Sometimes we've been slighted, we've been hurt, things have been said about us, we've heard through the gossip mill, and we get angry, and we want justice to be done, and we think that if we forgive, then justice won't be done. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us your heart. Would you put your heart into us so that we may forgive as you forgive us? Finally, Jesus says in his prayer, his teaching on prayer, after forgiving as we forgive, he teaches this phrase, and lead us not into temptation or testing or trials, but deliver us. God, would you deliver us from the evil one? This final phrase is a way of our understanding that it's a plea from us to God that he would deliver, that he would rescue, that he would guard, and that he would protect those who are facing trials. Because we are going to get in over our heads in life, and we need God there to guard, to rescue, to protect, and to deliver. This is the deeper understanding of prayer. It's not so much what you say, but it's this understanding of who God is in our response and our trust in him in a daily activity where we're not so much worried about what other people are going to think of the words we say. We're not so concerned with trying to gain some kind of authority over God. Where did that thought come from, that we could somehow say magical words and get the creator of the universe to do our bidding, but that we realign ourselves with his agenda as a provider God, as a God who rescues and who protects. Dan is going to come up, and he's going to sing a song, but we want to close as a response that with music, through hearing the words. I don't even think the words are going to be on the screen. You just listen, and you're just going to be in your seats as a way of responding with prayer collectively and also individually. So as Dan is singing and playing, and as you hear the words about who God is and what he does for us, you're praying individually and also aware that other people in the room are doing this as well. And it's to God. Maybe you do something physically to help with that. Those of you who are physical learners, if it's doing something with your hands as a sign of I'm giving or I'm receiving, if it's, you know, as you learned as a kid to clasp your hands together, if it's closing your eyes, if it's focusing on one aspect as you're thinking, do what you do. As Dan leads us in this time of prayer, and then I'll come back up and close us with some words. Dan, you lead us.
Just let these words pour over you this morning as a prayer. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision, see you. do, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. You give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. Lord, we look to you today. Lord, we come to you just with that plain language that we just spoke of. We're overwhelmed. Help us to see things as you do. Give us vision today, Lord. We would look to you in all things. See things as you do. Lord, you're where our help comes from. We seek you. Our strength, our shield, our rock, we come to you. Let your will be done today and as we go. Let your will be done. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me wisdom to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. You give me wisdom. You know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. And I will love.
Will you stand with me as we close? When you pray this week, and you have no idea what to say, maybe it's your first time, and you say, "God, I don't know what to say." Sometimes I find it refreshing to have my Bible open with me and use words of Scripture as my prayer. Or I use that as a beginning point of God, what is this about? God, what should I do with my day? Maybe for you this week, your prayer is just a time of silence. And when you think about, silence, I just don't hear God speaking. Maybe we could do a series of how often God is silent in the Bible. When people pray to him and look to him and he's silent. And what that means to faith. Maybe you get with your friends or co-workers or families and say, can we pray together tonight or this morning? May you not be afraid to ask for help to those that you trust. Heavenly Father, as we go this place, go into the world, into the workplace, into the schools, Father, we do pray for protection. We pray for your guidance. We ask that you would give us wisdom. Father, when we get discouraged and we freely admit we can get discouraged with prayer, may we be reminded that your Spirit is here. May we not be afraid of the silence, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessing as you go. Peace and goodwill and safety. We'll see you next week.